Good afternoon. Today is Tuesday, October 17th, 3:30 p.m. This is the regular October monthly meeting of the Citizens Finance Advisory Committee. And we have a quorum present, so I'd like to welcome everyone and also call this meeting to order. We will start off with any announcements up here. Go ahead, Dawn.
Just I have to apologize that I have to leave at 4:45.
Okay, thank you, Dawn. Any other announcements? Walter, go ahead.
Hi, this is Walter Heath. The Surfboard Art Festival art exhibit is currently on in 22 locations in Morro Bay and 24 locations throughout San Luis Obispo County, a lot of wineries. The exhibit map is available online at morrobay.org. It's also available on the Morro Bay Surfboard Art Festival website, mbsaf.org, or you can pick up a map at the Visitor Center.
Thank you, Walter. And I'd like to welcome the city staff, Monique and Marty Lamelli. Any announcements there?
No.
Okay, thank you. All right, so the meeting is called to order. We have no presentations, so we will open it up for public comment. Is there any public comment? Seeing none, I'll close public comment. Thank you for coming. So we will start with the consent calendar, the approval of minutes from the May 17th regular Citizens Oversight Finance Advisory. Has everyone had a chance to review those? And does anybody have any comments or updates?
I think you have one minor edit that Monique is going to propose.
So that meeting was actually a special meeting held at 3:15 p.m. and we listed it as 3:30. That will be a correction before the final draft.
Okay, thank you. And that was a special meeting, you're correct. The regular meeting would have been in the day before and it conflicted with the citywide Amgen tour. So, all right, can I have a motion to approve the minutes as written?
I'll move to approve the minutes.
Thank you, Dawn.
As written.
Second.
Thank you, Dave. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? All right, so let's go on to our business items update. That would be item B1, brief finance department update conducted or presented by Mr. Lamelli. Go ahead, sir.
I started as interim city manager at the end of June, and in July, your former finance director announced his resignation. He went on to moving to San Diego County and working for the County of San Diego in the planning department or community development department. And since then, we've started recruitment for a finance director. We had another interim that came in for a short period of time, but currently we have been using Susan Slayton. She came back just a couple weeks ago to be our finance director, and if you recall or know, she was your previous finance director, retired, and so she came back to help us out during this time of need. So we pretty much have been without a finance director, but we're working on year end. And I'm pleased to announce, and you may have seen the press release, I think there was brief press already on our new finance director who's going to start November 2nd, but she's going to be coming to the council meeting October 24th next week to be introduced to the city council and staff. She currently works for the city of Sonora. She's their administrative services director. Prior to that, she was with the city of Los Gatos. She was the assistant town manager there, and she was prior to that, she was also the finance and budget director there. She brings to us a lot of experience. She's very well educated. She has a master's degree in public administration as well as a Juris Doctorate in law. Before her experience in Los Gatos, she served as the Office of the State Controller in New York State, and she was with the city Auditor's Office in the city of San Jose. So she has a wealth of experience and education that we're anxious to work with her here in the city of Morro Bay. And her name is Jennifer Calloway. Again, I hope you join me in welcoming her when she does come to the city. In addition to that, we also had a vacant utility manager position, or I'm sorry, utility clerk position. That position has been vacant since about July. We've started recruitment for that. We had over 50 applicants for the position. The finance department and our personnel technician have narrowed it down to about 11 people to be considered further for the position. We're hoping to get a list established and have the new finance director make the final selection when she starts in November. So with that, any questions? And you probably also saw, by the way, we're hiring a city manager. He's actually been appointed by the city council. He starts November 6th. So this will be my first and last CFAC meeting. So, and for those of you who did not meet me until today, I apologize for that, but it's been a busy 3 months for the city of Morro Bay.
Thank you, Marty, and we thank you for your service, and you're right, it has been a rough 3 months, but you have really helped us, and I'm very pleased to see that we have some very well-qualified city manager and the new finance director, and I'm sure we all look forward to working with Jennifer, so we'll welcome her. I presume she'll be at our next meeting, so.
Absolutely.
Great, thank you. Any other questions or comments? All right, very good. All right, that will bring us to item B2. And item B2 is the update from the subcommittee that was reviewing the CAFR as part of one of our goals, the recent citywide or the audit from the 2016 to 2017 fiscal year. And that subcommittee consists of John Irwin, myself, and led by John Martin. John Irwin is not here today. He has been called by FEMA for some advanced training, so he's back east, and he may be absent for a while. He may be assigned to one of the hurricane areas. So we thank John for his service, but he may not be here for the next couple meetings. I don't know yet. We'll find out. But anyways, so the CAFR with the three of us met and had a couple meetings, discussed this. John Martin took the lead and was quite instrumental in preparing a lot of information based on the CAFR and the audit report. Some of you may remember, I believe it was the end of March, there was a presentation to the city council from the Poon Group that did the audit. So, and then this is what our committee did to, as some suggestions. So I'm going to turn it over to John, and he will report and on it just at a very high level. And then we're going to ask if there's any questions or anything that we can elaborate on.
Thank you, Barbara. Just a point of clarification, this is actually the fiscal year 15-16. Yeah. So we did meet, I believe, three times, and we prepared a four-page memo to the city council, and it's first off, I want to just say that the city should be congratulated for doing a CAFR. This is the first one the city has done, a comprehensive annual financial report, and it's an extremely important document. I certainly hope the city continues to do these every year. There have been some agencies that have started doing them and then quit doing them because there's so much work involved. Hopefully the city will continue doing these because this is a very, very important document. The document was very well done, and the approach that the committee took was to provide some feedback, so to speak, and some ideas and suggestions as to how the document can be improved. Try not to pick it apart, but just to point out some things that we, you know, as citizens reading this thing, what would make it easier for us to understand, what would make it better and more clear. And so we came up with this four-page memo, which has five specific suggestions, and then a series of examples to illustrate the suggestions that we've made. It's a little bit of an awkward situation the committee's in because the committee is an advisory body to the city council, and yet the memo that we've written is really addressed, even though it's addressed to the city council, it is for management to take a look at. And the committee doesn't have any authority over management whatsoever. So these are truly suggestions. Hopefully you'll take a look at them, and the permanent city management, once they come on board, will take a look at them and incorporate them into future documents. So without going into any great detail, I would like to just read the five suggestions that we did come up with. And then as far as the details, if there are any questions that any of the committee members have, we can go through those as needed. So first, management should provide references to tables, page numbers, and notes in the transmittal memo and in management's discussion and analysis, which is also called the MD&A. This is just for clarification to make the document easier to read and be able to turn back and forth from page to page and still not lose your place. Second, management should ensure that data that's discussed in the transmittal memo or the MD&A are clearly available in the financial statements, notes, or statistical section. If there's discussion in any of the narrative portions, you should readily be able to turn to the page that shows those exact numbers. Third, management should provide a narrative in the transmittal memo or the MD&A regarding any materially significant items. And we feel like there were a few items that were kind of glossed over or really not talked about. Management should ensure that the CAFR is internally consistent without conflicting data, errors, or unintentionally misleading statements. And finally, management should address the auditor's comments. And there were a couple of examples of those. And so with that, I think what we're looking for today is a motion and a second and a vote on transmitting this to the City Council. If there are any edits that the committee wants to make, this would be the time to do that. And hopefully by the time we're done talking about this, we'll be able to get this approved and on its way to the City Council.
I'll open it up for discussion, questions, comments, please.
I'll make a comment. I was particularly impressed with your document. You may have had three meetings, but there was obviously substantially more time than that put in reviewing the document. It was probably one of the most comprehensive analyses I've seen of any document around here. So the three of you should be congratulated on how well you put this document together. I thought it was fantastic.
Thank you, Bart. And John Martin does deserve a lot of the credit for that because of his experience in municipal government, finance, and accounting. We decided to capitalize on that and talk about some things based on some of our experience reviewing financial documents for cities. So thanks, Bart. Walter, any comments?
No.
Favor, Don?
I just would like to echo what Bart said. I was extremely impressed with the document, but also the perspective that you took on not trying to pick it apart, but giving reasonable suggestions to management and to staff. And I just would hope that staff really takes seriously the work that you've put into it and honors the time, because that was volunteer time that you put in and, you know, went above and beyond, I would say. And I think it's useful, those suggestions, as a layperson reading those suggestions, they made a lot of sense to me.
Good.
I just wanted to congratulate the subcommittee, the thorough review of the CAFR, and I really, you know, didn't have time to go through it and try to go back to the CAFR versus what the recommendations were to see to try to find the examples myself, but obviously you did a thorough review, and hopefully the management and the council will accept your recommendations. One question I have for Mr. Lamelli, what is the CAFR comprehensive annual financial report is optional for cities?
Correct.
What is the value of doing a CAFR in addition to the budget document, which includes a transmittal letter from the city manager that kind of describes the budget and the current financial condition of the city and so on? What's the value of doing that in addition to the budget document and also the audit, the annual audit report that's done by our auditors?
First of all, I'd like to say that I've worked in the city of Laverne for over 23 years as city manager. Every year we did a CAFR. And after that, I served as interim in three other agencies. They all had CAFRs. And the value of a CAFR from a city manager perspective is just another insightful look into the city's financing perspective and where we're spending the money, how the money's spent, and it ties it all together. I'm surprised it's not a requirement of the state of California, but it isn't technically a requirement. And our new finance director will be, first of all, she complimented the city on completing the CAFR last year. She saw that it was the first one the city had done, and I'm sure she will follow through on trying to continue the CAFR this year. So I hope that answers the question.
So it's really a best practice. It's not a mandatory requirement.
Absolutely, it's a best practice.
Because it does seem like it would for an agency this size, it does take a lot of time and resources to put something like that together. In fact, it was mentioned in the CAFR, in the auditor's part of the report there, that you know, about the understaffing of the finance department and the challenges for the finance department to get just ordinary work done in addition to doing all this other, all these other activities.
Especially doing the CAFR for the first time, it's a big undertaking, but after it's established and it becomes a practice city, it becomes easier each year. So it's again, it's a very practical thing to do from a city manager perspective.
So it really, it gets, once it's done for the first time, then it gets built on, you have a template that you can build on year after year.
Absolutely. And again, with your review and your suggestions, those will be taken into consideration for the next CAFR.
Okay. Well, thanks for that.
And I have another comment along those lines. About a year and a half ago, maybe almost 2 years ago, this committee was asked to do some benchmarking and look for some metrics. And I know when I did some research on that, every city that had some good metrics, the first thing they had was a CAFR. And they said, go to the CAFR and pull these formulas and this and that. And that's when I discovered we didn't have a CAFR. So I think there's, in terms of best practice, and that was our intention here. And in fact, I believe the auditors made reference to the fact that the city got a certificate award for excellence in reporting. That doesn't mean necessarily the finances are, you know, excellent. It means the reporting of them was excellent. So to get that kind of award for the first one they've done, that's what takes us from being good to best in class, you know, type thing. And that's the goal here. And the other comments I would make on this is that on page 9 on the bottom, the item C about the aggregate net pension liabilities, that's getting a lot of attention. So there's some things here that are very important. On page 10, item G, where we talk about transfers and very little information, we think that's extremely important based on at least some of our work with Measure Q. It's very hard with any of the finances when there's a lot of transfers in and out. And the auditor called that out in terms of documentation and, you know, So for a citizen trying to look at our budget and that and seeing all these transfers in and out that are undocumented or maybe not sufficiently explained, that becomes a challenge. And then the final thing I'll say on page 11, one of our items where we said address the auditor's comments, but also look at, have someone on the staff who wasn't involved in the prep of the CAFR reviewing it, you know, as a sanity check. I think that serves two purposes. It serves the obvious, just checking for any glaring errors, but also that would be a good opportunity for training of maybe some less senior or, i.e., junior finance personnel. Hey, take this CAFR, maybe you didn't have any part of it, look at it before it goes to the print. So that's why we made some of the suggestions we made. They weren't just made willy-nilly. So any other comments? John? Excellent job. So can I, if there's no suggestions to change what we've done, can somebody make a motion that we will transmit this to council?
I'll move that the document is transmitted to council.
I'll second.
Thanks, Walter. Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries 6-0. All right, thank you, guys.
I would just add that this report may come back to you again for discussion at a future CFAG meeting from your new finance director perspective.
Well, that's fine.
I think it'd be good.
I would encourage our folks to, you know, if you have more time, maybe look at some of the things. And I did send the CAFR document out to everybody, so you have that. But, yeah, if we need to go back to it, we are more than happy to go back to it. So go ahead,
while
John.
While we're still on this item, could I inquire, what is the schedule for the audit work this year for the 2017 fiscal year?
Because of the lack of staff, of finance director specifically, we're a little bit behind, but we hope to get everything together in November with the new finance director. By bringing in Susan Slayton, she's working on year end and getting preparation for the audit. We've contacted the auditors and told them of our dilemma, and we're running behind, but they've given us November. Basically, they will be here November, December to start the process. So again, we're behind, but we will get back on track with the addition of additional staff.
Okay, because this year was a little bit awkward in the fact that everything went to the city council and was approved before the committee ever looked at anything. And I was just hoping that maybe in the future there could be a schedule that would allow us to look at a draft before it went to the city council. Would that be reasonable?
It would be reasonable in a normal year. I don't think that'll happen this year, but I really can't say. I think that's a question for your new finance director and new city manager.
Okay, thank you.
Fair enough. All right. Any other comments? All right, thank you all. All right, then that takes us to item B3. All right, B3 is a review of the fiscal year 2016-17 unaudited transactions from the collection of the general purpose local sales tax, commonly referred to as Measure Q. And you have asked us to review that. Marty, did you have any presentation along with that? Or?
No presentation. I would just highlight the recommendation is basically to try and bring you this information for discussion at a future meeting. I'm not prepared to answer a lot of detailed questions today. I think that's better served by you having this information, putting on a future agenda, having a new finance director, then be prepared to answer some of the questions. But if you have questions after receiving the information at this meeting, Monique will happy to be record those questions and we'll provide them to the new finance director for future discussion.
Okay, so first of all, does anybody have any general questions on this or specific? I have just a couple, but this is actually a preliminary review of the Measure Q to kind of get us up to speed with the format, and many of us haven't been involved in that in the past. And then if we have some specific questions, which we do, we'll shoot them out, and then we'll discuss this at a future meeting. So I'll open it up for anyone that has any specific questions, and then I'll go with mine. Go ahead, Bart.
I think a lot of us think of Measure Q as the roads, and I think many of us, including myself, were very happy to see substantial road improvement, Ponderosa being sort of an example in my mind that stood out as a third world country that got a makeover, which was excellent. Is there a general reaction, though, from the community that you're aware of as to whether or not are people pleased that we spent a lot of time and money fixing up the roads last year, or do you hear only about where the roads weren't filled to their satisfaction, which I know there are some of those?
As a new resident of the city, I've been here since January of 16. I was pleased to see the amount of road work that was done. I think generally the feedback I've received from people has been very positive. And again, we're going forward with another complete, I think I can't recall the dollar amount, but I believe it's in the $800,000 range of continued road work this next year. So obviously it's the emphasis on road work is received well by the community. The items when they were at one of my first council meetings for discussion created no controversy, no public comment of controversy. Everyone, I think, is receptive to getting more road work done. And I agree that our streets needed some improvement.
So along those lines, Marty, these expenditures we're reviewing for the last fiscal year, and the last few years we've been doing them every other year. We've been carrying forward about $400K out of Measure Q so that they could capitalize on the fixed setup cost. So this year typically would be almost nothing for roads, and then next year, 2018, summer of 2018, be another close to $1 million probably with the. So has there been a significant expenditure during the current year?
I think there's certainly an expenditure budgeted in the current year, and again, we're going out to bid. We're trying to get it done before the rainy season this year, mm-hmm. and we're short-staffed in Public Works as well. We lost two engineers in this last two months. Mm-hmm. We're in the process of replacing or recruiting one now, mm-hmm. and so depending upon when that person can start, we may get the street work done before the rainy season. If not, we're going to be on board to do it in the spring after the rainy season concluded. And yes, I just can't recall the specific okay. dollar amount, but there is a substantial dollar amount allocated to road work this current fiscal year.
Okay, because typically that would be almost next to nothing and then carried forward, but with the Measure Q increasing and then the other California, it sounds like they're going to be able to do something every year. Okay, perfect. That's good. Any other questions or comments on the Measure Q? Go ahead, John.
I have a few of them. So then these are preliminary figures. Are these going to come back to us with audited figures before the six-month period that we have to review this, or are they not?
I don't believe we'll have time to do that. But again, I think they'll come back to you again to, for discussion, more detailed reporting at your next meeting. But if it's done prior to the audit, I don't think so. But again, that's a question for your new finance director, and we'll take it from there.
So we could actually be asked to approve preliminary numbers.
Possibly, but again, without having the auditor start and having year end concluded, I can't answer that question.
Okay.
Okay. All I'm doing today is present you with these preliminary numbers for your receive and to be discussed at a future date. As to we refine the numbers by then, I don't know.
Okay. And I've got just a few specific questions, but if the answer is don't know, that's fine. The Cal Recycle Grant, that revenue went into Measure Q fund this year. What is that for, and is that normally done?
I don't know.
Okay. Are all the pavement projects captured in the Measure Q fund, or are there some that are done in the general fund and then there's some kind of cost sharing?
There's some other funds involved. There's some state monies involved, some gas tax money is involved. I don't believe there's a lot of general fund money involved. Maybe some other enterprise funding involved, but you know, for the most part, it's Measure Q and gas tax monies.
Okay, so the work that's done in the general fund is pretty much just in-house labor doing repairs, potholes, and those types of things?
Yes, again, without having a detailed budget from me, I don't know the answer to that, but I would guess okay. So. Typically, that's what cities do. We don't use a general fund unless we have to for emergency repairs, for sidewalk, basics, repair work on streets, primarily using outside sources of funding for major street projects.
Okay. I'm just trying to think, and I wasn't here in 2006 when this was approved, but I'm just trying to think back of how it used to be compared to how it is now, and it seems to me the way it is now that all the little repairs like sidewalk repairs, you know, for safety and signs and potholes and small things are done in the general fund by city employees, and then contract work is all left to Measure Q. And I'm just wondering, before Measure Q, how did the city do contract work? That's more than 10 years ago, so I really don't know.
Yeah, we have a PMP there.
Probably gas tax money, I would assume. And that was the only source of funding besides the general fund. That was your biggest source of funding. And again, state grants, perhaps, when they're available. For example, there's some new state monies that are becoming available. I think our share this next year is in the $60,000 to $80,000 range. That was state funding we're getting for the first time this coming year. Mm-hmm.
For roads and bicycles
and
things like
bicycles.
That. It could be more, but this year it'll be a little smaller. I think on the Cal Grant, too, I thought Mr. Livick explained a couple times they were using some kind of special material in the pavement stuff, recyclable or tires or something, and that's why they got the grant. And since the pavement management was funded out of Measure Q, it kind of made sense to put that money in there.
You're absolutely right. It was recycled tires they use in the mixture when they redo the roads.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's where that came from.
In the budget, there was an item for police standby charges of $13,000, but there was no expense against that. Was that something that just was not done then, or that the city decided not to pay standby pay? Or
I don't know the answer to that question, right. But I can look into it and respond by email later.
All right. Comparing the budget to the actuals, there's a couple of things that kind of pop out. There were three items that weren't in the budget, but I see one of them was like a carryover, the EOC safety equipment. I think that was a carryover from the prior year's budget. But then the Street Saver subscription and the stormwater education plan, very small items, but not in the budget. I don't know what management's authority is to do that kind of thing if it's not specifically in the budget, even if it's a small dollar amount.
The carryover from Measure Q can go over to the next year, with the exception the fire department salary can only be carried over 1 year. But we don't always segregate. Like last year, the carryover was $442,584 something, and that's from the previous year, and that's why you had so much they spent this year on the pavement management plan. And then now it looks like it's $126,000 going to be the carryover. So after all these transactions are audited in the exact amount, then our committee typically makes a recommendation. What are we going to do with that carryover? And typically we say, put it to streets. You know, that's the seems to be the biggest demand.
And I have some other questions, but in all fairness, you weren't here almost the entire fiscal year, so.
I came, I think, in the last 2 days of the fiscal year.
Yeah, so I don't think I'm going to get very far here. I'm just, one final question, and maybe Monique can help out. The fund finished, the Measure Q fund finished the year with a cash balance of $52,000 deficit. How does the accounting go on that? I mean, is there like a due to, due from with the general fund, or how does it finish the fiscal year in negative cash?
You can carry over negative cash and balance it out and pay yourself back the following year. That's one option. It could be that there's certain journal entries to be made that will put it back in the positive. I don't know the answer to that question.
You know, and I looked at that. I couldn't find it in my notes from last year, but I do know last year was confused because they borrowed $200,000 from the previous year from the general emergency, and then they put $100,000 back before the end of the year and $100,000 later. So I think that goes back to all our comments on the transfers and that and documenting them clearly. But and the only other thing I had on was really actually, John mentioned the Street Savers subscription. I had a citizen ask, what is that and why are we doing that? So Monique, just make a note next time that'll come up, or it may come up during public comment. And the other thing is, and I think we discussed this a while back, but I saw a lot of charges in there on that Caterpillar, that steer skid. I'm still not convinced. I know the reason we were given last year that it was leased instead of bought was they didn't want to capitalize it the entire amount, or, you know, the first year. That doesn't seem to make sense. That might help your first year accounting, but I'm not sure that's the way. If you're going to spend that kind of money, maybe you ought to be buying it. And the question which we asked last year and will be asked again this year, I'm certain will be, is that only used for the street stuff here under Measure Q, or are there other departments benefiting from that? So I'll leave that as a FYI question. I think you brought it up, Dave.
I did.
Yeah.
I did.
So if it looked questionable a year ago and we still keep leasing at these high, you know, the old adage, if you want to lease something, you're going to buy it and keep it 20 years, you're going to buy it three times over.
Correct.
Yeah, I would think that if the city were to propose to purchase one of those and use Measure Q monies to purchase one, the citizens might not view that very, very nicely.
Could be. Could be, depending on what it's used for. But anyways, we'll save that for next time, okay?
And it could be a lease purchase item that at the end of the day we end up owning it. I don't know the details.
Well, that would be nice instead of turning it back in, yeah. Mm-hmm. I think it was a five-year lease, but that's all I can remember on that guy.
So are you going to agenda this, that item then for the next meeting? So
no, we're going to agendize all the Measure Q for next meeting. This is like a preliminary intro. We'll have the finance director on board. Monique has made some notes. And if we have further questions, we'll probably get a revised. Is Susan going to run another report, or is this the same report?
This is the same report.
Okay, all right. Because it was, yeah, you're right, October, so it should cover it all.
I guess my feeling is, when I go to meetings like this and something keeps coming up, we should move towards a conclusion. Dave brought it up, you're bringing it up again, and I guess let's either say accept it or find out why it's that way.
Well, that's fair, and I think if they bring back the information we requested, we can do that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Barbara, one more question before we leave this item. Every year the budget has debt service out of Measure Q funds for the fire station. Mm-hmm. And the way the budget is, it has the principal and interest and then plus 10% reserve requirement. But then, of course, the reserve requirement doesn't get spent, it's not expended, and does not show up in the list that you provided to us. So I'm just wondering, what's the accounting on that reserve requirement? I mean, if you're showing it as a current year demand on Measure Q funds, how does that happen? It's not a large amount. It's $82.39 is the amount for 16-17, but
I just don't understand how.
Yeah, I don't understand that reserve either because it's a fixed 15-year.
Usually, reserve is all set up at the beginning of the debt service, and the city has to actually have it on, you know, in the bank.
Right.
And so I'm not sure if this are they trying to backfill from Measure Q or.
I don't know. I looked at the debt service for the fire station, for example, and then I found out that there's a property, and you're probably familiar with this, a property that if it sells, or if the sale is complete, it's actually in escrow now. They're making payments. I think they're waiting some coastal review. When they finalize that sale, that money is intended to go pay off the debt of the fire station. So that is one thing I do know. Relative to the reserve fund, I'm not positive as to why they're accounting for that amount of money at this point in time in the loan. You're right. It's kind of unusual.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with that either, but I do know that that's good to hear on that's the Coral property you're referring to.
Correct.
Yeah, okay. So that this committee made a recommendation a while back that those funds would be used to pay down the only loan we have now. We used to have a second loan, but now we just have the one on the fire station. So good.
And I have that on the list of projects for the new finance director to keep track of.
We'll keep her entertained. Okay. Anything else on the Measure Q? Okay. Good. Okay. So if there's nothing else, then I don't think we have any action or motion on this. Bart brings a good point, but in all fairness, Bart, I think some of us haven't been through that before. So I think this is a good discussion. And then we're not going to be doing this, you know, every month. Measure Q is usually a one-time, you know, shot.
No, I'm not saying Measure Q. I'm saying the Caterpillar decision specifically.
Okay. Okay.
Because that...
Gotcha. All right, so that brings us to item B4. Oh, okay, review of the carryover in unallocated cash from the collection known as Measure Q. So that's the one page... I believe it's a one-page item at the end of our agenda.
That's correct. And like the previous item, this item should be just presented to you as information. We'll bring it back for discussion and more detail as we get closer to year end, finalizing year end.
Mm-hmm. Right. That's why I went back and looked at the carryover from last year, which is clearly on there. That checks the 442. But there was also unallocated last year, $55,000, which I don't think shows up here, but this committee made a recommendation that went to streets, and Craig Schmollinger did indicate that was added into the streets. So it kind of helps the numbers balance out. You know, if you look at the expenditures and review, it looks like it's off about $70,000, but taking into account that 55, I think we're getting pretty close.
Very close.
And I do know you have to make some journal entries and investment in some of those things, so it never comes out to the penny. But any questions on this, or anybody want anything explained? This is the carryover report. This will become part of our responsibility to approve this each year as part of the Measure Q duties.
Yeah, I just have a question about the sales tax payment due, $185,785. That's a figure that must be like 2 months' worth, because you've been getting between $70,000 and $95,000 per month all year long, and now this can't be just June's collections.
It primarily is June's collection, and I think it is primarily June's collection. It was, I think the May number came in late, and June is came in July. There was, yeah, and then there's also a journal entry that needs to be done relative to that, so that'll be come back. That'll come back to you when the details are resolved.
Okay, so I mean, here we are in October. By now, you know exactly what that figure for June is. So
correct.
I'm assuming this is a hard number.
Yes.
Okay.
But I think maybe the way they track them, they're always behind, because it looked like there were 12 payments that came in.
Yeah, exactly, because they're always a month behind in payments. So May's comes in June, or May actually comes in June. June's came in normally in July. This year, they're 2 months behind, so okay. We had July, it was May's, and August, I think, is when we got June's. And I think that's the reason you see this.
So it's not like we're going to get another $185,000
no,
in full, really.
No.
Yeah. Okay. Bingo. Okay. Anything else on item B4, folks? All right. Moving right along. Okay, that brings us to item B5, selection of the vice chair. I asked this to be put on the agenda in the event I can't make it or something, or we all the boards have a vice chair, generally speaking, so that there's no, you know, questions, so somebody else can step. And I think that's good to have anyway. So I put that on the agenda. I'm open up for discussion, nominations, volunteers, whatever.
I'd like to motion to nominate John Martin to serve as the vice chair of the Measure Q Citizens Finance Advisory Committee.
All right, thank you, Dave.
I'll second that.
John, would you accept that before we get into?
Yes.
Okay, any other nominations or discussion? Volunteers? Ready to vote?
Ready. Oh.
Okay. All in favor of appointing John Martin as the vice chair of this Citizens Finance Advisory?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Turn that off. Okay. Okay. Motion carries 6-0. Thank you all. Congrats to John. I do know last year we had a few, as it got more into the flu season and winter season, sometimes we'd have people not be able to make it or have to cancel at the last minute type thing. So once again, let myself or Monique know if you can't make it. But I do understand we don't, you know, expect you to come here if you're ill or something. So that's why I do a quorum check usually if a couple days ahead of time, just to make sure before we go into all this effort putting the agenda together. All right, so are there any other comments, discussions? How about future agenda items?
I just have a few questions. One, does anybody know the status of the potential purchase of the Cloisters fire station location? I'm not sure what the official name of that is. At one point, we were all excited.
That's what we just talked about.
Yeah,
that was the Coral.
Oh, that was
that's
the Coral.
One of the
Oh, okay.
It's in the process. It's been sold. Escrow. It's open, and they're making monthly payments mm-hmm. as they get their development permits in line. That's what I understand.
Oh, that's right. And the other one, the money was taken out of the emergency fund for buying the Peak. I think it was $265,000, and then there was another some legal fees. And I believe the way the motion was at the council was that they would revisit that every periodically or something like that was the statement. Do we know what periodically means? Is that 6 months, once a year, to see about that particular use of emergency funds and if there might be an opportunity that the citizenry?
Since I've been here, there's been a brief discussion of that of when the council meets in terms of when the council touched on their goal of ultimately trying to sell that to an open space group at some point, and at that point I think what they've clearly figured out what to do with the money coming back in and repay the fund. Prior to that, I would guess at year end we'll look at it again, but again that's a what I would expect on my part. That'll be up the new finance director and city manager to kind of revisit that, as well as the council. So I don't think they define what periodic review would mean, but there is a group, as you probably well know, that is trying to raise funds to purchase the Peak from the city to create an open space district.
Would the hope then be to recapture those funds that were spent?
Yes, I'm not sure necessarily to capture all the funds, but certainly the majority of those funds, yes.
Well, I heard not only is it the 265 that they're hoping to get, but also the legal fees that were expended by the city, which would be great, the full 350, not just the 265.
I think some of the legal fees were already paid back as part of the settlement, but I'm not positive on that. And again, I think hoping to get is a correct terminology in terms of the actual sale price ultimately for the open space property.
I have a suggestion for the future item. I thought about doing it today, but I know Dave was gone. The subcommittee on the budget transparency, and in our work plan, we also included something on the contract visibility and summary. I don't know if you guys have had an opportunity to meet or not, but we're on the hook for that. So are you still planning to meet and do something, or
We did meet.
Okay.
And would it be appropriate to talk about that now, or do we need to put that on a future agenda?
Are you talking the budget-friendly document?
Yes.
Or, okay.
Yeah, we met. We met about.
Can we have an update now?
As long as there's no action taken, just a brief update. But yeah. What I would add is your new finance director, in doing her backgrounds, her current city manager and previous city manager emphasized her ability to make user-friendly budget documents. She's done a really good job in that area, so you might be better off to hold off discussion until she is on the scene.
So should we do that, or did you want...
I wouldn't mind hearing a 30,000 view from above of where we're at, and then if you guys want to... We obviously will agendize it for next time, but you feel comfortable saying anything about it, or...
I'll give you my take on it. We met twice, and as a subcommittee, Walter, Don, and I, and we decided that we were going to... The best course of action was to update the budget summary report that was done for the previous fiscal year, the one that included the pie charts and the description of brief description of city finances. And after we started on that, we found out that the staff updated it and actually incorporated that into the budget document.
Right.
So there was no need for us to do anything on it because it had already been done.
Well, that's good. Then our recommendation was already followed because we got a lot of good feedback. I thought Craig did say he was going to do that, and I wasn't sure he ever got to it, but that's good.
Now, from my perspective, the only problem is that that information is buried in the budget document, which is very difficult to find to begin with, and for an average citizen looking for the information. So it's buried in that document, and it would be a lot more effective if it were either broken out and put somewhere else that's more easily accessible on the city website, or a link to it that would make it easier for people to find, or print a copy and send it out like as a utility bill insert or something like that.
One of the things I had the opportunity to do since I've been interim city manager is the grand jury meets once a year, and with all the cities and all the mayors and all the city managers, and kind of goes through a roundtable discussion, and we bring a brief booklet or description of our city to the table. And one of the neighboring cities brought us a three-page, four-page document that gave a great budget summary, highlights of the budget document itself, showing the revenues, expenditures. I kept that and put it in what I call my new city manager file for the new city manager to consider as he goes forward and develops the budget document for next year. Now with the new finance director, same thing. So that's the kind of document I think you're referring to, and I've used those documents in the past in other cities I've worked in. It's just a great summary because nobody wants to go through a 100-page, 200-page budget document looking for detail. They just want to typically have a good grasp of the city's finances, understand where the revenue sources are and what's unique about the city of Morro Bay relative to its financing, for example, the TOT, Measure Q, et cetera. So I think, again, give staff time. You've got an excellent staff here. That's my observation, and I think the new additions of staff are going to complement it well, and I think we'll go forward from here.
Well, our conclusion was the staff has already taken that over. There's nothing more for us as a subcommittee or committee to do with that particular item.
Other than to put it in a place where it's real visible on the website.
And I think the staff needs to do that. I'm not sure that we can do that as committee members. I think that's something that the city staff would need to do.
I'd still like to advocate for, and I've brought this up before, some kind of video explanation or some kind of verbal explanation of those documents, just to increase accessibility. I think it's one thing to have the charts, and I think that's a fabulous step forward. I think we could push it even farther if we had some kind of webcast, and I don't think it'd be hard to create, just go through the explanation either of those documents or of the budget process itself if it's not already up there.
I agree with Dave that the it's great that the information is there, but if it's not packaged in a way that people can view it, it's not much good. It would be, I think, sensible to extract at least the most cogent pie chart, put that in an insert in the water bill with a link to an executive's summary, the kind of thing that Marty is describing. You know, it's a 3 to 4 pager that somebody who is not satisfied merely by the pie chart can go to and get a good 3-4 page executive summary. And I think that would satisfy most people.
So I think what we'd be looking for from the committee, since we've already done a lot of it, is for you three to get together again and maybe agree on what the recommendation is, put it in writing, and then, you know, we discuss it, and if everybody agrees, it goes up. Because some of those ideas are great, and we want to think out of the box, if you will. On the other hand, if the city doesn't have the expertise to do a video to insert it on the website without hiring a consultant for, you know, X amount of dollars, then maybe that's not something they'll choose to do, but we can still make the recommendation.
I think we could find the expertise. I would like, though, before we make a recommendation, to know the cost of an insert in a water bill. Or if we're talking printing on the back, or, you know.
Yeah.
Again, I think all these are good suggestions. That yeah. I think you're absolutely right. You should you should agenda size this item, have recommendations and discussion with your new staff members. But I think the video would be an easy thing to accomplish.
Mm-hmm. I think I've heard the figure
$2,500 for an insert.
I was at the chamber board meeting today, and we were discussing the cost to the chamber of doing a water bill insert, and it was quoted at $600 to $800.
Oh, okay.
I don't know.
Maybe that was four times a year, the quote I got.
Maybe that was four times a year.
Or the chamber might have a different distribution list than the...
Yeah. And is there...
No, that was to the water customers. Yeah, not to the chamber list.
Is there any data on the effectiveness of an insert? Like, do people really read them?
I can tell you on WRFCAC what some of them told me.
Yeah, I'd love to know.
They, you know, the people that called, which is always the vocal minority, very vocal minority, said, "You're wasting your time. We didn't know about this." It was over and over we heard, "Don't bother." Now, I don't happen to agree with that because I know what Los Osos did in that. But
I have a little bit of, the reason I bring it up is I have a little bit of concern about the use of paper on a one-time insert, the use of paper and ink on a one-time insert, if it's something that we can get out electronically in a different way. To the same population, I'm not sure that's possible.
I think because we're talking future agenda items, you stick to the future agenda items, or we come back with that kind of discussion.
Sure. Yeah. Okay, fair enough. The other future agenda items, and I had discussed this with Craig, was the CAP review, the capital allocation plan. I think it hasn't been done in maybe 10 years, so that's I've been kind of holding off. I don't want to give a laundry list of the new incoming person, but some of these are just some things, you know. That we've asked for over the year. And I think and we also will talk in the future about Dave has volunteered, I think, perhaps, or some of us may volunteer to help with the implementation of the PO system module when we get to that as part of the new world, the new finance system. That was one of the findings from the auditor. So
is that coming back for an update on where that system is at in terms of implementation?
It's not implemented, so
yeah. But I mean is that going to come back to us with some kind of update in the future, or is there any kind of timeline going to be developed for that? I know we've been talking about the implementation of that system for a few meetings.
That's really on staff, and we've offered to assist if we have the expertise, or maybe, but that looked like that was also part of the Poon Group's recommendation. They're understaffed, and you know, when they get staffed appropriately, some of these things they're going to get to, I presume, and then we'll try to help.
I wasn't on that interview panel, but was that discussed with the candidates about the implementation of the financial software? And we've had the software, but it's not implemented among the managers. Should our new finance director be, is she going to be expected to get that up and going?
Yes, she is expected to get that up and going. We did discuss her with her, and she's familiar somewhat with the software. I think it was in her previous agency she had something similar. So, again, that is on her list of projects.
Thank you.
One other thing I wanted to float as far as our subcommittee public-friendly document. Budget document subcommittee. I did send out an email to my fellow committee members through the city email system. I don't know if you saw that or not, about doing some kind of a budget calendar.
So my city email doesn't work, and I have called the city to try to get help on that, and I haven't gotten a response. I'm not able to get into that email, and I put in a phone call to get help on that.
Maybe talk to me after the meeting.
Okay.
But getting back to that, my email, I floated the idea of possibly a project that our subcommittee could work on being some kind of a budget calendar, and I also provided some examples of that. So is that something that we should consider talking about putting on a future agenda?
I think the subcommittee should discuss that and bring something back to us, a draft plan. It sounds like you have a lot of things to discuss, so what's the priority, and maybe bring back some draft plan. Otherwise, we're just taking notes of...
I would wait again until your new finance director's here, meet with that individual, Jennifer, and then develop, based on year-end where you're at, and develop a budget calendar for next year, because that's one of the first things she's going to have to do after the first of the year is put together a budget calendar based on where they are, where year-end is, and the audit is. So, and that she could share with you.
That'd be perfect. And then we can make recommendations to that.
Correct.
My opinion is I think we really would really need to have a discussion about that with staff to find out if that's something that they're open to doing to begin with, whether they feel it's worth the effort to do that. And I'm not sure if we're on the same page as far as what we're talking about as far as a budget calendar.
Yeah, maybe we're not, because every city I've ever worked in has a budget calendar that's usually primarily for internal.
For internal purposes. I'm talking about a budget calendar for the public. Something that would help to engage the public in the budget development process so that they would know maybe it was the examples that I saw were like a brief outline of the budget process and then also a list of meetings and a list of events that happen prior to the budget being approved.
Again, I think that would be a recommendation coming back from the committee to be discussed on a future meeting agenda.
Right, but I think you really need to get the staff involved in that because they may not see that as being useful. I don't know.
I agree. Any other comments?
Just in regards to the publication that the city purchased for us.
Oh, thank you. I brought that, yes.
That book is right there.
Go ahead.
So this the city bought this for us, and it's making its way around.
Good.
And now there's another publication that we're looking at getting that maybe the city could actually buy an electronic copy for each of us. I think it's only $8 per electronic copy, and Barbara has it here. It's interpreting local government financial statements, how to avoid 25 common mistakes. I think it would be helpful to the members of the committee. We had requested this from Craig quite a few months ago, and he didn't follow through on it for us. So,
again, after the meeting, provide me the information.
All right.
Okay. Okay. Anything else? All right. Then our next meeting will be held the third Tuesday of November. Go ahead.
I think you need to reschedule or get some dates because that meeting is during Thanksgiving week. I'm not sure you might have problems getting a quorum. So that's why on the agenda, I think we left it to maybe discuss future meeting dates. Due to the holidays, discuss alternate meeting dates for November and December because the holiday weeks fall when your normal meetings will be held. And again, you may have holiday plans.
Okay, so we're on that item. I'm sorry, I was getting ready to, that's item C, okay. So does anybody have any suggestions? Let's see.
So the standing meetings would be the 21st and the 19th. So that's where they originally were?
Yes, they're always scheduled for the third Tuesday, 3:30, this location.
And you're saying December 19th, maybe during Christmas, is...
Well, it's close to, he's saying, it's probably the
Christmas.
Tuesday before.
Yes, well, the 21st is Thanksgiving week.
Right.
So that one.
In November.
Yeah, so that one you might want to have a week earlier or a week later, perhaps. And then the one in December is 19th. It's a week before Christmas, but it's the holiday season. People may go out of town. It's whatever your pleasure is. I would pick two alternate dates for November, December that hopefully the majority you agree on. And then you finance director can work with those dates. That would be my suggestion.
Okay, so if we try to keep it as least disruptive as possible and keep it on a Tuesday, 3:30, if we do it the second, that's the same. Council comes in at 6, but we're always done. Would that work with everybody? So let's look at November 1st. That would be Tuesday, November 14th.
We're done by 6. There's another meeting at 6, you say?
The council comes in. If we start at 3:30, we're typically...
Well, the council may have a study session at that time, too. That's hard to predict. So maybe you want to go for the 28th after Thanksgiving, if that's available for all of you. And Monique can check on the availability of the room to double check, but the 28th might be a better date for the November meeting.
I could do both. I can do the 7th as well. If it ended up being early in November, which would be too soon.
7th,
but I'm just saying.
Yeah.
No, I know that's too early, but I'm just saying I could do any of those.
The 28th probably makes the most sense. Again, the new finance director is starting on November 2nd, so that'll give her time to get up to speed. Hopefully meet you before the meeting, which I didn't have the opportunity to do even after being here 2 months.
Walter, 28th looks okay?
Yeah.
Dave?
28th works for me.
And we're going 3:30.
Either the 14th or the 28th is fine with me.
Yeah, either one's fine with me, so you can, whatever you think.
We'll aim for the 28th, because the 14th, there will be a study session, I'm sure, of the city council that night or something.
Okay, all right, so that takes care of November.
And then maybe at that meeting, you can pick a December date, and maybe the 19th works for everyone.
Yeah. Well, depending on how we go and what's on the agenda and how much we have, we may not need the December meeting.
Correct.
Not advocating. Marty knows my position on canceling meetings, but then that brings it like 3 weeks to the next December, so I'm flexible.
I could meet on the 19th.
I can, too.
December 19th, so am I.
So let's keep the 19th then.
Let's keep the 19th scheduled just in case, yeah.
Exactly.
Maybe when you have a short meeting, yeah. You guys okay with that? Okay.
And then can I just ask quickly, since we're on the calendar, the January meeting then is the...
From there on out, it's going to be typical, because, you know, they have all these other meetings, so it'll be the third Tuesday, 3:30, wherever the third Tuesday falls.
Okay.
January will be the 16th.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that, okay.
Subject to the finance director, the November meeting is the 28th.
The first choice is the 28th. The second choice is the 14th. Maybe we'd have to go up to the fire station or something.
Correct. You know, I'm hearing that the 14th is not a good idea, so I'd probably just stay with the 28th.
Mm-hmm.
I would agree. The 28th makes the most sense to give the new finance director and city manager a chance to appoint themselves and get familiar and put an agenda together and make it productive.
Okay. And then the December, we're going to leave on as December 19th for now. We'll...
Correct.
See what we have. And then going forward, Dawn, in answer to your question, it's always a third Tuesday, so just kind of...
I don't know if anyone's planning a longer weekend, but MLK Day is the day before on the 15th. I don't know if people on the committee are planning.
The 19th's our usual date.
No, for January, sorry.
Oh, for January.
January 16th, MLK Day is Monday the 15th. I don't know if people are on this committee are planning longer vacations.
No, I think that's why a lot of the meetings are on Tuesdays, because the holidays and or 3-day, 4-day weekends, whatever. But yeah, you know, with the Planning Commission and all the other meetings at this facility, we're a little bit limited. So I'm okay with that. Everybody else okay?
Sure.
All right. Any closing comments? Okay. Congrats to Mr. Martin and also to Mr. Lamelli. Thank you very much for hosting this with us and your service, and we all wish you the best.
In my career, this is my first CFAG meeting total, so it's a pleasure.
Oh, great, good.
Thank you.
Glad you could make it. Thank you. Thank you all. Thank you, audience.
What's that?